The Shift Podcast, Perspective and Our Power to Change, invites us to expand our lives by changing the lens we see through. Is something different calling you? Do you ever ask yourself, is this all there is? Or have you forgotten why you're even here? Trish and Diane create insightful and empowering conversations about connecting the self, soul, nature, and community. Navigating life by choice rather than circumstance is how we make the shift to expand our humanity. The shift starts now.
Hello, welcome everyone to the Shift Podcast, Perspective and Our Power to Change. I'm your co-host, Trish Campbell. I'm here along with my good friend, Diane McClay, and we are back with episode, 26 of The Shift. We're talking about the wisdom of naturing. And first, I want to start off, as we always do, by honoring, acknowledging the land where we settle, where we operate our lives from, where we operate our businesses from. And something I haven't ever said before, when we acknowledge, it's one thing to acknowledge the land, but also to acknowledge that the land was stolen and the people removed from those lands. So I want to acknowledge that because it's an important part of why we're even acknowledging and why we look beyond what it is that's just in front of us and look for deeper truth. So. And it's important to recognize that people were removed. Erasure was attempted at a society of people, societies of people. So, and there's deep wisdoms there for us to learn and to understand. And that's why we're talking about what we're talking about. We talk a lot about the connection to nature and connection to our earth. And so that's why we're doing it, and to have the full scope of that, and to continue to broaden our perspectives on that. So I want to acknowledge the lands specifically where I settle, and that is the lands of the treaty lands and territories of the Anishinaabeg, the Huron-Wendat, the Ojibwe Chippewa, the Mississauga of the Credit First Nation, and we just honor you for your connection and stewardship with our Mother Earth and for the wisdoms that have been buried since antiquity, that those wisdoms have existed and been used and also then suppressed. So I also want to invite Diane. I know it's important to you to acknowledge the people that came before you where you are.
Yeah, thank you for that. And I'm going to do a little bit of a perspective shift. Normally, I acknowledge the people of the land where I live, which is the Pacific Northwest, Columbia River Gorge, Confederated Tribes of Warm Springs, Confederated Tribes of Grand Ronde, the Wishwam people. But today, I want to go to the other end of the river. I spent some time last week on the coast out at the Pacific, the mouth of the Columbia River in the Pacific Ocean. And I was saddened to learn that area was occupied by the Lower Chinook people, who were the people that Lewis and Clark met with and spent a lot of time with over their winters. And the thing that I learned that sort of made my heart sad, and I want to call attention to it, is that the Lower Chinook people petitioned the federal government, the United States federal government, for recognition. And they were actually granted that. There's only about 1,000 people of that tribe left. And then that federal recognition, which brings with it money and access to programming and access to tourism dollars, that recognition was pulled back by the United States federal government. And I'm doing some research on that. I don't know why. I don't know what the parameters are. I don't know what the rules of engagement were. But there is an unnamed group of people out there who have occupied the opposite end of the river. I mean, the river is a system, right? It's flowing through us, it flows through the land, and it carries with it the concept of trade and connection and community. And here we have people that are at a significant confluence, and I don't know which is sadder, not being recognized or having recognition and then having the recognition taken away.
Right.
So I just want to pay homage to the Lower Chinook people and do whatever I can to bring the awareness that rightfully they should be named and rightfully they should be acknowledged by our government. And for some reason, that's not happening.
Yeah, thank you for for sharing that and for doing that exploration, you know, exploring deeper wherever you go to see, you know, what the history is up there. And to your point about whether, you know, what's worse, have being recognized and then having it pulled away or not being recognized. And I feel like the recognition is performative. It's just to say, look what we're giving you. And it's like, they're not giving anything because it was stolen in the first place. So we could, you know, there's so much to this topic, and really what it's about is to, and why we talk about this all the time is because it's not just, so it happens to be Indigenous Peoples Month in Canada. Tuesday is Indigenous Peoples Day. I am, you know, grateful that we have a day to acknowledge and honor the Indigenous peoples, but it's, you know, what about the other 364 days of the year? What are we doing? What are we on an individual level? Let's not wait again for the government to do something, but to see where we can learn ourselves and take action ourselves and implement that connection and understand those first, how that was suppressed, and understand why it was suppressed, because there's wisdoms there for us to reach a higher consciousness, like we've talked about before. And so, you know, understanding that and applying that in our lives on every day, not just for Indigenous Peoples Month or it's Pride Month. So, you know, all of a sudden, all these corporations have a rainbow flag logo. I mean, that's a whole nother topic, and that's so performative. And I want to say that here because I feel like, you know, we have that opportunity to talk about the real things and why are we talking about this? Like, the, you know, nature, our Mother Earth, all that connection is who we are. That's our natural state. And we're all walking around as fractions of ourselves and wondering why.
Well, and I want to jump in there that I think, you know, I remember a lesson my dad taught me that was actions speak louder than words. You know, it's really good that we can talk about things, but, you know, putting your money where your mouth is, you know, following through with what you say, I think is also an example that that I think we need to bring to people. And you just had a birthday. One of the things I want to honor you is you put up on Facebook that there was a charity that instead of you receiving money or gifts from your friends and family or people who know you, you had put a request out to have people learn about the foundation. And I'll ask you to explain it because I don't remember the name. But the concept is that that foundation is actually going to give money back to the reconciliation efforts in Canada. And when I did the research, what caught my eye is they're actually using the frame reconciliation. Not just reconciliation.
That's so important.
That particular charity was, they're very focused on reconciliation, meaning whatever monies they collect, they're going to put it into a meaningful, intentional, purposeful action that can actually start to create change. So do you want to share real quick that that charity?
Yeah, that's the Downey Wenjack Foundation, and it's started by Gord Downey, and in honor of Chaney Wenjack, who was a residential school. He was pulled away from his family and put in a residential school and lost his life trying to like walk home from the residential school. And his story is the story of many people because there's so many stories of that, you know, people being, culture being erased, you know, practices being erased, identities being erased through, and that were led by the government, the church, you know, it's so dark. And it's not history. It's not a dark, people describe it as a dark part of our history, but it's still like, we're still, the peoples are of those Indigenous tribes and the ancestors, you know, they're still feeling that trauma, and there's still trauma actively happening now where lands are being stolen and for capitalist purposes. And so I think it's, you know, I love that they talk about reconciliation because it's not just acknowledging and, you know, saying, okay, this was a wrongdoing or whatever, however you want to phrase it, but it's actually taking action to, for reparations, for, you know, making, to go to the opposite ends of the spectrum of suppression. And it's happening in baby steps. It's not, and it's because we need to do, it has to happen on an individual level. That's why we're talking about this. And we're talking about this. We're not perfect either. Like we're, you know, there was a point in time where I didn't know any of this. And it was like a rude awakening when I was like, was everything I was taught as a child a lie? Because I thought I believed one thing. And then, you know, you learn the truth. And so it's a constant opening to the awareness that there might be something different than what you believe.
Well, and I want to tag in on that. The book I'm reading right now, it's called Awake in the Wild: Mindfulness in Nature as a Path of Discovery by Mark Holman. And the foreword that's written by Jack Kornfield, who's he's kind of a spiritual meditator. He says, without big perspective, we are only half awake. We are only half awake to our life. Lost in the thousands of errands in our small self, we are not truly free. Then, like a sudden glimpse of the full moon, the walls open. Basically, Awake in the Wild shows us how to remember this mystery. It practices derived from the lineage of awakening in nature. And his meditations and his stories come from his own journey of traveling the world, being connected to different native cultures, many, you know, Buddhism, Zen, Taiwan, Thailand, Japan. So this is somebody who's made a point to go out into the world, experience different cultures and different people, and then become aware of what that new meaning or that new information is presenting. And then asking himself, how can I incorporate some of these lessons, these learnings, these teachings, these wisdoms into my everyday life to live more freely, to live more peacefully, and to live more intentionally? So I want to read that again. Without big perspective, we are only half awake.
Yeah, that's so powerful. And the big perspective, I feel like, you know, and that's why we're talking about naturing, because naturing, you know, and it's a newer word. We were talking about that kind of joking, like, is that a verb? Is it like, are we naturing out in nature? But naturing, I feel like, is like an invitation back to our natural state of being. And so where we have we are fully awake to that point. We're not half awake. We are fully whole. It's not just about the mind. We go through life trying to figure things out logically and in our mind. And it's about the mind, body, spirit, emotion, feeling, all of that being whole, a whole part of the process of being fully awake, conscious, but our whole being and our whole, that's our whole knowing. And it's not, we think, you know, we know with the mind, but I really feel like we know more with our feelings and our emotions that we have been kind of shunned away from expressing and exploring because it makes people uncomfortable. But that's where that's where the wisdom is too. That's where the information is. And that's why we're talking, you know, tying in the indigenous peoples, because their way of being is a way of being, and it's all encompassing. It's feeling, it's all the spirit, it's all the bodies. It's like—
Well, and there's a lot of reminders that nature is, like whenever if you look out your office window, there's gonna be nature. A friend of mine the other day he's in Arizona and he looked out his window and he saw praying mantis molting its skin. And he got curious about it. And he learned that the praying mantis, you know, unlike snakes that molt two or three times a year, the praying mantis might molt up to 10 times a year. And in that concept of watching the praying mantis, you know, he asked himself, this is PJ from PJ's Wisdom, by the way, he's a great friend of mine and highly recommend anybody to connect into his website. But he said, you know, he was going through some transition stuff in his own life. And he asked himself, you know, why am I seeing this praying mantis? What is the meaning, right? So he did a little symbology lookup. And what he realized is that the meaning that he attached to that piece of nature that he saw was that he also himself is shedding a piece of his skin, a piece of his old existence, and stepping into a new life. Very much like the praying mantis. Mm. So for me, nature, whether you look out your office window, your house window, whether you deliberately go to the woods or the river, there's always this concept of there's always going to be something that has awe.
Yeah.
Right? The other day I was on a hike and I saw one of the black and orange woolly caterpillars.
Yeah.
And he was vertical on a plant stem. right? And I sat down and I watched him for a little, like, is he alive? Is he going up? Is he going down? I in my lifetime, I'd never seen a little woolly caterpillar completely vertical. And then I was like, wow, the plant stem's not really bending under its weight. And so there was this awe and curiosity, and I wonder why that is, and I wonder what's happening. And to me, I mean, it's hard when I hike with other people because they want to get to the top and they want to get back down. And I could be completely content just watching that caterpillar for another 20 minutes. And that's my invitation to our audiences, regardless of where you are in the world, nature has this ability to create awe and curiosity and perspective. And it almost is this very nonchalant nudge to us to say, what's going on in your life that you could connect to? Because I've probably got a story back here in nature that can relate to that.
Yeah, that's so true. Nature is constantly reminding us who we are. Like your friend PJ, who, you know, he made that correlation of, you know, his own life. And nature is reminding us that we're ever evolving, just like nature. And just like nature is not, you know, it's all imperfect, but it's also perfection, because that is the perfect, it's imperfection is the perfection. And so we think we have an idea of perfection, and we think, you know, if something is going, something we're going through in life is quote unquote bad, or you know, it doesn't feel good or whatever, that it's bad, that we want to avoid that. But actually, nature reminds us that everything has an evolution and a cycle. And so we are part of that. So that's why, you know, this is an invitation for us, for whoever's listening, to really be immersed in nature, in nature when you're in nature. And so be it, you know, and stop. And you know, I remember when I first started going to the woods here by me, and I would just initially just like walk through, and then it's like, but once you stop and pay attention to what's going on around you and really be present, and it's not just listening or observing, it's really feeling, and you start to feel a pulse of the earth. And like you talked about that too before, and I think every area has its own vibration. I mean, we know that, like, there's different, more higher vibrational places on the planet. And so I mean, it's something that can help us in instead of being pulled away from and disconnected from who we are and all the facets of us and the highs and lows that, you know, sometimes when, like I said, when we're feeling dark, that affects our mental health. But nature has a way of reminding us that that is just part of who we are, and it's okay. We're going to be okay.
Yeah. And it's that we're part of a bigger thing too.
Yes.
You know, right. And nature, you know, like, I can remember a time that I was really, really stressed out. I think I've told you the story before, but there was a point where I went to the woods and I just laid down in the woods, and I was feeling sad, and I allowed myself to cry and to weep into the earth. And then when I kind of was able to get a hold of myself again, I sort of opened my eyes and I looked around, and I saw the ground was littered with these little fir cones. And then it's like my focus, my perspective opened a little bit more, and I saw little seedlings. And then it opened a little bit more, and I saw what looked like a tree that had probably been growing for 2 or 3 years or 5 years. And then as I'm laying on my back, I look all the way up to the top of the fir trees. The picture behind you is mm-hmm. in essence the place where I was. And you know, I see these fir trees that have been growing for 30 or 50 or 75 years or 100 years. And in that moment, I had the aha that little fir cone isn't worried if it's good enough. Mm-hmm. It's not worried if it's going to be a big tree or a piece of lumber or if it's going to be food for another animal. It is existing in its own perfection, in its own space, for whatever the next iteration of it is going to be. If there's a lot of water and enough soil, it might grow to a tree. If it dries out, it might become food for a mouse, right? But that fir cone, unlike human beings, where we take on this burden of not being enough and not being mm-hmm. good and not meeting someone else's expectations, I don't think there's anything in nature that is worried about meeting the visitor's expectation. Like, the waterfall isn't like, oh, I hope I have enough water in me today that someone thinks I'm beautiful. It doesn't do that. Like, I mean, it sounds silly to put a voice.
It does sound silly. Yeah.
Right. But why then? Why do we take that persona on ourselves? If we are a part of nature, and nature's a part of us, and nature doesn't have the ability to be judgmental or worried or concerned or stressed or afraid, it seems to me like we as humans have the exact same ability to do the exact same thing.
We do have that ability. And that's why we talk about remembering, because we know we have that. We knew we had that ability to just be who we are and not feel like we're not enough and not feel like we don't measure up. But we have been programmed. That's the programming of not enoughness, of not being worthy of our dreams or whatever it is. Like we're just programmed from the moment we arrive here to disconnect from our inherent being, which knows that we're okay just as we are. And we knew what we came here to do, but it got all clouded up with trying to participate in a system, which has, you know, programmed us to participate in the system and to be disconnected from our nature, the nature that's in us. So it's, and so naturing is, you know, kind of like the counter program. It's the antidote to the programming that we have, is to, the more you can, we can immerse ourselves in it, the more we start to open up to the fact that everything has been programmed in us to, like, those beliefs, the limiting beliefs, and that we're not, you know, measuring up, we're not, you know, the right size or the right hair color or, you know, whatever it is. It just, you know, brings us back to that we're all the same light inside, and we all have the ability to achieve our true potential.
Yeah, and I would say the steps to do that, you know, the whole concept of why we titled our show Perspective and Our Power to Change. As soon as you change your view or the meaning that you attach to it or the words you use or the stories you tell or the belief systems you have or all of the above, the minute you change one thing, and I don't mean you have to let go of the old thing, but the minute you allow a new idea to come in is the point where your perspective, you start rotating kind of around your world rather than just being stationary and expecting the world to serve you. And so my challenge to our listeners today would be is notice how you're feeling exactly at this moment in time, whether you're driving in the car listening to our show or you're sitting at your desk or you're out doing a walk. Like, what do you notice right now? How do you feel? Do you like how you feel? And if you don't like how you feel, how do you want to feel differently? Right? Because I guarantee you that if you're out and about and you set some intentions with your movement and your motivation and your connection to nature, I guarantee you that the answers are going to start coming to you, even if they come in forms of questions.
Right. And to your point, when we shift, it's not about like completely changing our perspective or shifting our beliefs completely or whatever it might be. It's about, like you said, opening up to something, to allow something else to come in. And that is how we really truly know something or understand something as well, as if we don't. And so it's not about completely living in nature now and only nature. It's about taking what we're learning while we're in nature and applying it in our lives and, you know, and opening ourselves up to the beauty and the imperfection and the perfection actually that exists there, and to incorporate that in our day to day and in our thoughts about ourselves, in our interactions with other people. And it really is a, you know, it's a gradual process, a gradual opening of, you know, if we stay so firm in how we're operating today, we have an opportunity to expand and use the experience of being in nature to enhance our lives.
And my call to action to our audience would be is to, what's the thing that you want to change?
Yeah.
Right. Does it feel to you like your life isn't complete? Does it feel like something needs to be different, but you're not sure what it is? If that's the case, look Trish and I up. You can find us at Trish's website is thisistrish.ca, right?
No, this is trishcampbell.com.
Sorry, this is trishcampbell.com. Mine's dianemclay.com. And, or you can drop us an email. You can find us that way. But, you know, reach out to us and tell us what it is that you feel you want a little bit of support in. Because our whole goal in doing this radio show is not just to talk about things, but to put meaningful action into place and to be supportive of the people who need a little bit of motivation, a little bit of energy, a little bit of positive reinforcement. As coaches, we don't judge you. We're not here to say the way you're living your life is right or wrong. We're here to say, if you want it to be different and you want some support in doing that, we're here to help you get that done.
Yeah, exactly. And it's, you know, we have what we need inside of us. We all do, but we ourselves sometimes can't see all of that. So that's, again, like to your point, we're not just here to talk about this. We're here to help anyone who wants to look at their life differently or make one small change or just have some support in seeing what you can't see for yourself and helping bring that out.
Right. Exactly. And that's, you know, we talk about empowering your life through choice and courage. We talk about empowering the steps that you take with all you have to do is be curious, like in nature. You have to have awe. You have to be you have to have a question in your heart. And the question isn't, why am I doing things this way? I think the real question is, how could it be different? And what can I do to make that happen?
Right. That's exactly it.
Yeah.
So I think we're almost out of time. So I just want to just reiterate that, invite our listeners again to, when you're out in nature, to stop and pause and feel it, and then remember and bring that back in. Don't leave it there. Bring it with you into your life. So
that's a great message. Don't leave it there. Bring it with you. And I would add, you know, then implement it. Bring it with you and implement it.
And implement it, yes.
So once again, thanks for tuning in on this Friday. I'm Diane McClay, and this is my friend Trish Campbell, and you're listening to The Shift, Perspective, and Our Power to Change. We're here on the first and third Friday of the month at 12:30. We hope you stay with us because we're going to be bringing in some new topics and changing things up a little bit.
Thank you for listening to The Shift podcast, where perspective and our power to change intersect. Slowing down to look at things from a different angle is necessary to effect positive change. You hold the power to transform yourself and your life. It is already inside you, and it's within reach. Clarity comes from awareness. Momentum comes from choice. Healing, growth, and transformation happen on The Shift podcast, the first and third Fridays at 12:30 p.m. Pacific. For more information, go to invibe.ca or dianemclay.com.
Views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the station, its management, or advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.